Okay, thank you very much. The only thing I'll disclose is that I am a paid consultant for ASCD, but I don't think it's a conflict. So, and Reg just actually went over these objectives. So, we work in an alphabet soup of acronyms. Sometimes I wish we could just name projects or documents Jorge or Edna or something, you know, a little more friendly. When I was at the University of Colorado, the dean asked us to rename our community dentistry department. So we had a meeting and we all voted and we decided to name our department Bruce. So that when somebody would call up, we could say, good morning, this is Bruce. And it was much more friendly than the Department of Applied Dentistry. Unfortunately, the dean was not amused by that idea. This is our first acronym that you're all familiar with. We have considered numerous other names that are equally bad. We considered the Association of State and Territorial Oral Health Directors, which is actually more representative of what they are, but that came out as ASTOD, and that was not good either. As many of you know, ASTD is the umbrella group, or the home, as our tagline says, where oral health lives. For the state and U.S. territorial oral health programs. And we collaborate with more than 25 national organizations and federal agencies. We work through a committee structure and also through consultants. Time doesn't really permit me to go over all the resources that we have, but the handout does have a list of all the resources I'm addressing today and where they are on our website. Okay, Reg already mentioned that we receive CDC support, and we have for many years. We used to receive HRSA support, and currently we also have a subcontract with funds from the ACS Office of Head Start. Okay, we have a number of communication tools that are listed here. Our member surveys, we do an annual survey every year of our members, and members note that they use the website, the member listserv, and the weekly news digest the most, and they really highly value the face-to-face networking opportunities that we provide at our annual meeting at the National Oral Health Conference. Okay. The guidelines are one of our key documents, and it's based on the 10 essential public health services to promote oral health in the U.S., and it's set up so that it includes a matrix of state roles, activities, and resources under the three core functions of assessment, policy development, and assurance. And it's undergone three or four different revisions. We're in the process of revising the resource links right now, so keep checking back because we're trying to put new resources on there. And as one member said, I think it's really the backbone of the state oral health programs, and they really use it for a variety of things in terms of advocacy and developing state oral health plans. ASTD uses it in our mentoring program and also our program reviews that I'll get to in a second. Recently, a couple of years ago, we decided to develop competencies for state oral health programs. While the ASTD guidelines really describe activities, these are really the skills that you need in order to carry out the activities. ASTD's vision is really a strong, well-trained dental public health presence at all levels of government. Although we developed the competencies for the whole program, which is a different kind of focus, they can also be used to develop individual educational plans. There are 78 competencies in seven domains with a progression of skill levels. So we actually list examples of four different skill levels. They're integrated into the mentoring program, and also the state oral health program reviews and technical assistance. They promote identifying, leveraging, and sharing of resources in collaboration with partners to maximize skill sets. We relied heavily on the chronic disease director's competencies in developing these. They're very general. They don't include clinical skills, and they're cross-cutting, so that somebody in an oral health program can focus on some competencies and could get a lateral transfer to another position and still use those skills in another kind of position or move up to a higher level position. But really it looks at the array of competencies in the whole program, what a whole program should have, so that you could identify gaps in skills, and then you could find consultants or other key people to make up for those gaps. ASCD has been conducting formal orientation and mentoring for more than a decade, and the need has really increased in the past few years, with many state dental directors retiring and a big turnover in staff. Some of the new directors have neither a dental background nor a public health background, so it's become a real challenge. Mentoring program pairs a new dental director with an experienced dental director, and this usually occurs for almost a year where they have regular contact. Sometimes they visit each other's programs. This photo is actually of the three consecutive dental directors in Colorado that went through the mentoring program. We hope they stay for a little while now, but there was quite a turnover there for a while. And we've had more than 50 mentoring pairs that have worked together since 2001. Mentee evaluations note how this program has really increased their knowledge, their confidence, and skills in a variety of areas. Okay, now, how many of you were at Mike Mann's presentation in the last session? Mike, you were? Okay, all right. That was good. Mike very eloquently described some of the next few resources that I'm going to quickly go over here because they have to do with needs assessment and surveillance, and Mike is one of our needs assessment and surveillance consultants. The ASCD seven-step model was really designed to be a simple, manageable tool. It is a step-by-step guide. There are seven steps. And it can be adapted to specific community resources and objectives. And it provides integrated information, not just about health status, but the existing health system and health resources, and it does use existing data sources for the most part. Needs assessment is really not an end in itself, but an initial step in the development of a comprehensive oral health program plan. The next tool is another acronym, the SOPR manual, which stands for State Oral Health Program Review. Reg and I kind of spent a lot of time together at his house working on this, updating this project. It's a guide for states to request a comprehensive oral health program review by a team of people with different types of expertise. There are a lot of different self-assessment tools in there, including a SWOT analysis for states to look at what core data sets they already have and which ones would be beneficial for them to collect in the future. There's a budget worksheet, and they put all of this information together in a briefing book that the team uses when they do an on-site review. A number of people in this room have served as on-site reviewers to various states. ASCD has been doing this type of program review for the past 25 years. In the last 5 years, Kansas and Mississippi, and most recently Alaska and Massachusetts, have held on-site reviews. What I would like to point out is the SOPR is really an assessment. It's not an evaluation against standards. Okay, So the SOPR team describes the status of our program, taking into account its complexity and its uniqueness. It reveals the program's assets and identifies ways in which the program can focus their efforts to strengthen core capacity to promote and maintain oral health in the state. The reviews can also help with strategic planning, program prioritization, rallying support, which most programs need, increasing program visibility, and highlighting successes. We also can perform other more focused types of technical assistance after the reviews. This is a fairly new resource, the Handbook on Planning, Evaluating, and Improving Collaboration for Oral Health Programs. It can be used by state programs, local programs, oral health coalitions. Collaborations and partnerships are really key at all levels and are key to the success of improvements in oral health. We ASTD use this concepts from this handbook to annually assess our level of collaboration with all of the partners I talked about before. And we use it both from their perspective and from ours in terms of what level of collaboration we're at. We're always trying to improve our level of collaboration so that we're doing things in a very coordinated manner and not just talking to each other once a year or something. States have used this to identify new partners, to assess their levels of collaboration with their current partners, and prioritize partnerships to assure effectiveness and efficiency of efforts. In some cases, state oral health programs get bombarded by requests to partner. So this has been a useful tool to help them prioritize who are the key partners that will help them in a very specific way. Okay, this one is timely, emergency preparedness protocols, I think, given the recent storm. And as the number and severity of storms, floods, fires, and other natural disasters have increased in recent years, it's become really important for state oral health programs to prepare for the emergencies in their own programs and also to market the preparedness to others and to assist in coordinated response and recovery efforts. Dental directors in Mississippi and Louisiana were extremely busy during Katrina efforts and were key in terms of coordinating both health and dental responses during the hurricane. People still need dental care, and they have dental emergencies or injuries during disasters. And currently, advocacy is underway to make sure that the dental workforce is included as emergency responders, because in some states, they're really not. This manual addresses the role of state oral health programs in emergency preparedness and response operations as an integral part of state health agencies. It includes specific guidelines, worksheets, and checklists that states can adapt. And recently, we had a consultant work with South Dakota and North Dakota and their emergency response people to integrate this into their system. This next one is the project that Reg was referring to. In 2000, ASTD, with support from CDC, published a study and recommendations on 10 key elements for increasing infrastructure and capacity in state oral health programs. Both CDC and HRSA used these elements in their funding opportunities for states during the past decade. Recently, CDC funded ASTD to perform a trend analysis and revisit the key elements to see if they had changed at all or if any new ones had emerged. This new report outlines states' current status, progress and lessons learned in relation to the core functions and also the 10 essential services. And it also provides a matrix of recommendations for various stakeholders. ASTD is continuing this study and creating some targeted documents, because this is a fairly long document. And we're also creating associated policy statements, will be doing some webinars and workshops to address some of the recommendations and to leverage support and resources for state and local programs. States have already started using this for advocacy and policy development to improve and sustain their programs. One of the offshoots from this related to the role of oral health coalitions in advocacy for oral health and for state oral health programs. So, okay, we're stopping. We are? Okay. He told me to stop. Thank you. Okay. ASTD's Best Practice Project is a nationally recognized endeavor whose concept has been adapted by a number of other groups. And the purpose is to build more effective state, territorial, and community oral health programs. One of the pieces is best practice approach reports. There are 12 of those now with some more coming out, and we're updating the ones that are there. In addition, we have community practice examples that have been submitted by states and communities, and we have over 200 of those. Our most recent reports have to do with perinatal oral health. And that is that out yet, Chris? It's coming. Okay, these next few relate to the oral health surveillance system that I mentioned before. I'm going to kind of blitz through these. Scott also mentioned this one. This is sort of what the state profile page looks like on the website. There are 9 indicators, four relate to adult oral health, 3 to child oral health, 1 to fluoridation, and 1 to oral cancer. The children ones, originally we used third grade data, and that's what most programs are doing, and that's where 43 states have data listed. The Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists just approved an oral health indicator for preschool populations, so that's being uploaded now. And programs use these this heavily for state comparisons and in grant writing and reports for policymakers. The other piece that Mike talked about before was the state synopsis of oral health programs. This really looks at the administrative aspects, the workforce, the budget, and a number of other things for states. It's done annually, and the data are uploaded by CDC to the website. So you can go on there, and states really do use this to compare their states. The basic screening survey is the mechanism where states collect data to upload to the NOS, and it really is a tool for obtaining data for the oral health surveillance system. And we have consultants like Mike who provide assistance in drawing samples, designing, administering surveys, compiling, analyzing, interpreting data, and reporting results. Mike and Kathy spent a whole lot of time on the phone providing a lot of technical assistance to states. Okay. One of our most active areas this year has been in policy assistance. We work closely with the Children's Dental Health Project along with other groups. And we've developed a number of policy statements in the last few years. The most recent ones are on early childhood caries and on perinatal oral health. We also did a collaborative one on mobile and portable dental services in preschool and school settings that's paired with a companion issue brief on that topic. So we do both policy statements and issue briefs, and we also, the committee spends a great deal of time reviewing the ADA resolutions each year and providing testimony on those. It's great to be able to create and share all these resources, but we also have a number of challenges. And the ones I want to focus on is marketing resources to catch the attention and motivate states to use and ask for technical assistance. Sometimes we have all these resources out there and they don't use them for a couple of years, so we really have to do a lot more marketing. We need to create resources that are easy to understand and use and don't require a lot of technical assistance. And also getting states to evaluate how they've used the resources. Okay. I just wanted to say that you have your handout there. You can go to our website, but also if you want some more information, our stellar executive director, Chris Wood, is in the back of the room, and she's our central office. We have a virtual office in terms of the rest of us, so she's the one place that's physically located somewhere that you can call. So thank you very much.
Just two things. Bev spoke about the competencies. Well, the domain that I actually beta tested was at moderating, and I failed that one. So that was an accurate tool. The second thing, and I really really appreciate my past work with the ASTDD is that. Bev didn't really speak very much about the integration that goes on. And I think that this particular venue, the APHA, is one that I would like to use to underscore the integration that is one of the cornerstones of ASTDD. Many of our colleagues in state oral health programs are housed either in the maternal and child health or family health services folks with them or with the chronic disease folks. Those are probably the two primary areas where our folks reside. And in those contexts, a lot of what we do really fit across the board. You can fill in dental with nutrition. You can fill in dental with diabetes and so forth. And our sister programs in those other areas are much more inclined to include us at the table, and I think that's probably one of the things that just sort of resonated with me over the past many years here. Yeah. Crip sheet. Okay, our next speaker is Marcy Frosch. Marcy is the Director of Programs for the Children's Dental Health Project in D.C. She manages the CDHP's cooperative agreement with CDC to provide tools, training, and resources to assist states working on oral disease prevention and oral health promotion. Prior to joining CDHP, Ms. Frosch served as a consultant on health policy projects for MyoTech, Corporation's Health Policy and Legislative Analysis Program, and the National Cancer Institute, where she focused on state and local policies related to tobacco control and obesity. Ms. Frosch holds a BA in poli-sci from the University of Maryland and a JD from the Georgetown University Law Center. Today, she will highlight a number of tools CDHP developed with CDC funding, including the Oral Health Policy Tool, and more recent complementary tool to monitor and track state policies with model application by the Maryland State Oral Health Program. And finally, she'll touch on three databases that offer 50 state compilations of oral health data. That would be one, the Fluid Database on Community Water Fluoridation Case Law and Policies, and two, the State Oral Health Plan Comparison Tool, recently updated with summary analysis. And finally, the upcoming State Oral Health Coalition Comparison Tool, just beta tested by several states with oral health coalitions. Ms. Frosch.